B-Pod Studios.
Now, the show you'll be talking about in therapy.
That wasn't me.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jalen pulls up, leans into a three. No good. Back iron, rebound Middleton, and that's going to do it. Middleton does have to get across half court. Instead gives it up to Holiday. It's in the hands of Giannis. The final seconds will tick off the clock. Playing for number two, the Celtics with it without three starters and took the world champions to minute 48. But it's over, and the Bucks move into the driver's seat for the two seed. They beat the Celtics tonight 127-121.
Hour two, Agenda Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. So a lot of you liked that result last night. Celts go to the three seed, most likely to draw the Bulls, although hardly any guarantee. We gave you the scenarios earlier. And it's still a long way to go before you finally figure out who you're playing. And there's still no guarantee Brooklyn comes out as the seven, although I think they will. Brooklyn has Cleveland tonight, I think. And that would give them the seven seed, which matters. Because I'm not going to go too far into it. But
their next two games are home. They're hosting the Cavaliers and then the Pacers.
Okay, so the Nets should be the seven seed.
Correct.
But to be the seven seed, they have to beat the Cavaliers, I think, twice here. Or, you know, something along those lines. I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Brooklyn Nets are playing that well. It's a guarantee that they're the seven. All I'm saying is they could slip to the eight. I'd be stunned if they didn't make it out of that stupid little tournament. But they could be the eight. Be that as it may. You still don't know. You still don't know what the Bucks are going to do these next two games. The Sixers are going to do in these next two games. What exactly is Memphis going to do the last game? What are you going to do? And there's just too much to play out. And now may have blown home court in the second round. Be that as it may, I still think you showed something last night. You're going to be a tough, tough out. I mean,
it was hard not to like that second half.
I mean, it's coming out from the other side as a Bucks fan. I do not want to face you. Too pesky. I mean, I watch a fair amount of Bucks basketball. Giannis does not get blocked. Like, I have not seen many guys block Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you did it twice. Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart got him twice, I think both in the fourth quarter, or at least the second half. So there's just, your team has a quality, and when they hit the three, like last night, I mean, even without some of their best players, they're dangerous. So I do not want to face you. Never mind all the emotional baggage that I carry from my childhood Bucks Celtics.
Hey, look, I come back to the same spot we were, you know, a couple of weeks ago before the Williams injury or whatever it was. If they're healthy, they can win it. They can win it. They're good enough. They have everybody out on the floor, and I know that's a big if, but like you get Williams back and Tatum and Brown and the swarming defense and all that, you can win it. You're good enough.
All right, back to your phones and thoughts. Brandon in Boston on the Celts. Go ahead, Brandon. Brandon! Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. Ryan and Malden's been holding. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I got to talk about Chris Sale. And is it worth him staying on the Red Sox? Because I feel like he's just too injury prone. He's got the cracked or broken rib right now. He's had the Tommy John surgery a couple of years back. And on top of all of that, he's only got 9 starts in the last couple of years.
So what are you going to do with him, Ryan?
Well, that's what I'm asking you guys. I would like to. He's still got a little bit of oomph in him, but you know, I would like to. I don't want to say get rid of him, but maybe if you can trade him for somebody better.
Can you trade him?
No.
Does he have no trade protection?
It doesn't matter.
It's a bad contract.
It's $26 million, and he hasn't pitched.
The first thing is who wants him, but the second thing is, has he been here 5 years? Is he a 5-10 guy?
This would be his fifth year, I think.
So, I mean, I don't know. There's no untradeable contract. You can swallow half the money and trade him, or, you know, like you did with Price, right? I mean, you could do it if you wanted to do it. Are you at that stage yet with Chris Sale?
No, I'm not. But the other thing is, in his case, you're going to have to attach prospects to do it.
Yes.
So, like, you're going to have to pay someone to get rid of him. Like, just to get rid of him, let alone get something back. So, look, you're stuck with him. You're stuck with him. That's what it is. Until he comes back and pitches well, you're stuck with him.
Pat in the car on Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, big thing, guys. I don't know. It seems like probably people already talked about this, but seems like
you know, Belichick's, like, first-round draft picks, like, other than, like, D tackles, it doesn't seem like anything has worked out in past recent years, especially, like, wide receivers, offensive guys, even, like, some of the old linemen we don't even have anymore who are supposed to be, like, big names.
Pat, it doesn't seem like it hasn't worked out because it hasn't worked out. No, it's been well-established to the point where the owner, two straight years in the offseason, calls him out for it. So that is, like, now beyond dispute, which I'm a little relieved because when we used to pick at Bill's drafts, we used to get all this pushback from fans, and now it's just sort of accepted what's going on here. So, like, at least we're at that stage. Now it's, you know, what do you do about it?
Speaking of which, because I don't know that we ever touched on this, remember the comment, we had it in the exchange one morning, that Bill made about Matt Groh and how he was really in charge of last year's draft?
That's right. What was that?
That was in Reese's column from last Sunday or the one before.
Go ahead. Just keep talking.
Okay. So that comment about, well, Matt Groh was really in charge of the draft last year.
It's a great point.
So to whose benefit was this? What? Because Ziegler was theoretically the guy that was in charge the year before. And we all assumed Ziegler was the one that oversaw that draft. And Bill's now saying, no, Matt Groh was really the guy. Is this his way of justifying elevating Matt Groh to the position? Because he knows there was all this criticism out there of how Matt Groh could get the job. Is that what we're doing?
Oh, such so good, Maz. I'm just looking right now.
It was something like that to that effect.
Here it is. Reese had this item in his last notes on Sunday. Matt Groh, who was promoted to director of player personnel, Belichick's quote on him at the owners' meetings, quote, he really put the draft together last year with Dave. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. He really put the draft together last year, period. With Dave leaving, I feel like he's the best person to step into the personnel job. I think he's as good as anybody we've had in that position. Huh.
So again, what's the genesis of that? So what, now I'm supposed to believe Dave Ziegler was just what? An empty suit?
Got it. Yeah, it's just a fly on the wall, basically. Right, that's what he's making him trying to sound like.
Yeah, because McDaniels took him to Vegas, and now, you know, or they went together, whatever, however you want to categorize
that.
Yeah,
he sucked anyway. Matt Cole was the one that did it.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So, again, this is, I said to you about the coordinators thing when he talks about Judge and Patricia, that it's almost like a little disrespectful to McDaniels. Like, you know, yeah, well, those other guys are good coaches, too. Now, it's disrespectful to Ziegler. So these guys who left, they sucked? They weren't good at anything? That comment bugged me.
Absolutely.
That Matt Groh comment bugged me.
And it's, once again, Bill, you've got to listen to him carefully. He's always got a little something subtle in there, if you're paying attention. Chris on the Cape. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Mike. I tried to get through the week without Bill pissing me off, but I didn't make it. So once I heard you say we're second in the league in wide receiver cap spending, I swear to God, my head almost exploded. I like Parker, but he needs to stay healthy for me to have any faith in him. The fact that Bill spends what he does on this collection of frickin' shop backs, I don't know if Jonnu Smith is included in this, but it proves my point because he blows too. This team's success is not going to last long with this mismanagement of skilled players, money, assets, and the draft. This is Bill's last shot for me, I swear. Anything less than at least one playoff win this year, Bill can spend all of next year in Barbados for all I care. See you later.
Okay,
guys,
Chris.
Go.
Yeah, hold him to a high standard. You should. I don't disagree with that call one bit. He kicked out, sorry to do this, but he pushed out the greatest player in the history of the game who's still playing and still winning at a high level. Pushed him out. Didn't want him. If you do that, you better win with what you have left. You better win. And so you should be held to a higher standard because you could have kept that quarterback and still be winning at that level. So you better win at the same level if you thought it was better for your franchise to push him out the door. So I think Bill deserves all that scrutiny and all that expectation. He does. What was the one thing that he said in there that I wanted to react to, though? There was one. I can't remember. God, that's annoying. But anyway.
Well, it's Friday.
I'm with you on that. Back with more. With your phone calls, a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. Right back to
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Up. They love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Up.
Important to you to get one last run with the healthy guys on Sunday, or is it going to be one of those things you take a look and...
Yeah, I mean, we'll take a look, but you know, as I mentioned, coming into this road trip, 3 games in 13 days, you got quite a bit of break time there. And so we still want to get them a run and not have a week and a half off with no basketball. Obviously, we can try to emulate some in practice, but that live action is good, but also being cautious. And, you know, we're still playing for some seedings and standings. We'll see what Memphis does, being set at 2 already, and you know, we'll determine that over the next 2 days.
Okay, we'll see. See how the Celtics handle it down the stretch. One game to go Sunday in Memphis. Memphis not playing for anything, but with a week off until you play. Just want to get him a run?
Yes. Yeah, got to get him out there. You got to get at least a little bit of time. I'm not saying let him go 40 minutes, you know, but I would play those guys 15, 20 minutes, something like that. Let him get some, you know, just get in the flow of a game.
And I guess my guess is, depending on what happens with Philly and Milwaukee the next couple nights, they'll play to win if they need. They'll play to lose if they need. I mean, you know what I mean? If they really are intent on avoiding Brooklyn, they may be able to call it based on what happens the next couple nights. So back to your phones on that or whatever else you want. It is an agenda-free Friday. It is driven by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. Here's Brendan in Weymouth. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hey, Felger, I just want to say I don't really understand why you're saying you don't mind playing Brooklyn or you want to, or why you disagree with the Celtics trying to get the 3 seed. I mean, it's like you always say, it's a talent-driven league. So these players, they turn it up in the regular season, in the playoffs, whenever they want. They don't care about the regular season. And, I mean, if it gets you an extra week, that's the goal. I mean, isn't it? The Celtics, yeah, I mean, they're one of the better teams in the league right now, but that doesn't mean that they can beat anybody.
So, Brendan, a couple points. One is championship teams usually don't tank games to draw a certain opponent. If you're the best, you're the best. It doesn't matter who you play and you act accordingly. So that you doing it that way, managing it that way, tells me in and of itself is a tell that you don't view yourself as a championship team or you need help or something like that.
That's what it was. It was a soft play by a team that has been perceived as soft with this core over the last few years. I hated that last night. And to treat home court so cavalier, like, eh, no, we won't have to worry about that. I just think it's foolish.
Okay, so that's point one. Furthermore, I don't feel the Nets, so like, you're saying this Nets team is some of those LeBron Cavaliers or Heat teams that we had in the East last decade, right? Where they'd be some sort of middling 4, 5 seed, whatever. He would mail it in the regular season and then come to postseason and they'd come out of the East every year. I don't feel the Nets are that team. I feel they've turned it on in the last 2 weeks and they still can't win. And in the games that I've seen of them, they're trying to win these games. They're going all out. They're just, they can't play defense. They're incomplete. And so I think if you're as good as I think you are, you're beatable. And so those are that's why I think you should have gone for it last night and should go for the 2 seed.
Yeah, look, and you might be right. I mean, I just fear Durant. I fear Durant.
We've got Bob in Marlboro on the Patriots. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. I think it's now we finally know why Bill Belichick texted Brian Flores, and that was to screw up Brady's move to Miami, clearly.
God.
Which is great.
Do you really think that's what happened?
Absolutely.
And Bill intentionally did that.
Yes.
It's about the top.
To block Brady to go to Miami.
Bob.
This is going to be the new spin.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah. Because Bill gets everything right and Bill always wins.
And listen, I want to say this with all the love in my heart. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. This is not directed at you primarily, but it's about the top 10 dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. So Bill's going to inject himself into a lawsuit, a league lawsuit, so Brady can't go to Miami.
So Bill knew that by confusing the Bryans on his phone, that would blow up Brady to the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the top 10 dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, no. He knows everything, Mike.
That he knew one that first of all, that Brian Flores would release it, would include it in a lawsuit against the league for racial discrimination,
mm-hmm.
knew that, and that would preclude Brady from going to Miami.
Yeah, that's right, Felger.
So he knows that. He can do that.
Yeah.
But he can try for 20 years and not come home with a single receiver. Would you square those two for me, please?
He knows people, Felga.
Bob and everybody else who thinks he did that. If he's capable of doing that, how come he can't tell who can play receiver and who can't? Explain that to me.
Yeah, so what I would say to Bob is, why don't you head down to Foxborough? Well, when Bill needs his back shaved, why don't you do it for him? Like, it reaches the point with Belichick. No, it is.
That's weird.
Be his little handyman, you know, do whatever he wants. Because clearly you think he walks on water.
Who shaves your back?
Nobody. Mine just is hairy I leave it hairy.
I bring one of my daughters in with a clipper and shave my back in the shower. The wood will walk in and be like, what are you guys doing?
I just think that this whole idea that somehow Bill is, again, pulling the strings, not only in football, but on the whole planet.
This one is really dumb.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Of course it's ridiculous. So again, and not only that, Bill's going to suck himself into this lawsuit and be a witness in it, for lack of a better term. He's going to be a guy in the middle of it all.
No, he wants to be subpoenaed. He wants his cell phone records confiscated. He wants his personal cell phone in the course of discovery, he wants all of his personal information to be rifled through. Caller, fans who think he does this. That's what he wants. Lord, we just can't wait for some lawyer to go through his phone. Yeah, great idea. What's wrong with you people?
I'm telling you, they think he's infallible. It's scary, actually, if you want to know the truth. They do. They think he walks on water.
Since he lost his quarterback, he sucked.
And this is why. Like,
I mean, have you not paid? Are you paying attention?
They're grasping at anything. They can't handle that he keeps losing and losing, and Brady keeps winning and winning. So, he meant to do this. Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Brendan in the car on the Celtics. Go, Brendan.
What if the Nets want the 9 or 10 seed? If you were them, would you rather play Miami or face Milwaukee or Boston? I'll hang up. Thanks, guys.
Oh, go. Interesting. If you're the Nets... If you're the Nets, who do you want? I think they'd rather have Miami, wouldn't you? Would you rather face Miami or Milwaukee or Boston? I think I'd rather face Miami.
I was just going to say, is Philly an option in that at all?
It's not. I don't think Philly can get to the two.
I would say Philly if I were Brooklyn, because they got like Drummond. They get some bodies that might be...
No, Philly could probably get to the two. They probably could.
So maybe Philly.
Yeah, definitely Philly. Definitely. Okay, next. Who would I want to face next?
That's a toughie.
I think it might be Miami.
Yeah, it's possible it would be Miami.
And I respect Miami. I think they're good. I think they're going to be tough. Like, they're no walkover. I'm just, lining them up. I mean, I've got the Celtics ahead of Miami, so if I'm the Nets, that's interesting. Let's see what they do.
I don't think they want Giannis. He'd probably want the Celtics next.
The thing about the 9-10 seed, you're kind of playing with fire. You got to win two games there. If you're the 7 or the 8, you can lose one and still get in. As those bottom two, you got to... That's sort of tempting it a little bit, even though they should be able to beat all those teams. Chris in Worcester on the Sox. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey guys. Hey, Matt, I was going to ask you, when it comes to Devers and Bogaerts, do you think the lockout, one, just slowed down the process of negotiations? I don't know if they can talk during that lockout. And then, two, I'm really angry that they really are they lowballing them like they did Lester? Because that's dumb. Yeah, it's just dumb.
So look, again, lowballing's hard for me to say. I don't know. But I fear it. I do fear it. Like, I think we know what the market is right now on these guys, and it's around $30 million a year. It's even a little more than that, but I'm saying maybe you get a couple of million-dollar break on a guy just because he's here already.
And the lockout has had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. They've had plenty of time to address this.
It ended a month ago.
Yeah, they've had plenty of time to address
it. And never mind the months and years leading into it.
Correct. And the other thing is, we all know they tamper. Okay, so they all break the rules. You're telling me there wasn't any potential communication or conversation between any of these parties during the whole lockout? That's bullcrap.
We've got Mike and Lynn on this topic. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion. I've heard you and other people talking about, what the Red Sox are planning with what they're doing currently with Bogaerts and Devers, but I haven't really heard why, and I'm interested to hear your perspective and why you think they're doing this. I mean, it seems like they're operating on some small market level, like in Oakland or Pittsburgh or Baltimore, and I don't see why the Red Sox are doing this, because it, people can point to, well, they signed Story to a big deal, you know, $140 million, but to me it just seems like, well, that was just a way for them to save money with Bogarts, right? You're paying him $140 million, where you know that Bogarts is going to command $300 million.
So, Mike, let me just stop you. Why are they doing this, Maz?
Because they're worried about committing to a long-term contract because they're all bad investments, which might be true. But I would say, so what?
Yeah, why isn't Henry willing to make a bad investment? Or, you know, a risky, and no one wants a bad investment, but take on risk for the betterment of his baseball team.
I don't know. I wish I did. I don't know.
Can I answer?
Yeah.
I don't think he cares as much about his baseball team as he used to.
Well, maybe.
And I think he treats it as just another one of his businesses. And so it's run more like a business and not in terms of do everything we can to win championships. And that's, I think it just comes down to that, which is still not a horrible place because they're still going to, they generate so much revenue, they can spend a lot on their payroll, they will. But I think they don't want to go into the 30s. They don't want to pay a guy $30 million a year. It's as simple as that.
Well, so, the caller brought up Lester. Lester should be instructive. It was a mistake. That's how you ended up with David Price. And so, I would say be careful about the known commodity versus the unknown. There's also that. But you can already see how they want that. I shouldn't say want this, how they are allowing for it to play out, which is Story moves into Bogart's spot. Tristan Casas comes up, and he can play first base. And then maybe they move Dahlbeck to third after Devers is gone. Like, it's something like that.
You think that kid can play third base?
Oh, I think Dahlbeck played third in the minors.
Did he?
It was his original position.
Then why does he suck so bad at first?
It's a good question. Good question.
It's an easier position.
Yeah, right.
Bad depth perception or something like that.
No,
he's blind in one eye.
Yeah.
You would think that a guy can make that transition versus, you know, going
no
back.
Sweat.
Yeah. And so I could totally see them doing that. In which case I'll look at it and say, well, then you better have a damn good pitching staff, which you have no real prospects coming through the system right now anyway.
Okay. The latest on Tiger Woods and his day today. I hope Hardy hasn't been watching. Gutty effort. Maybe for naught. Here's the very latest from Big Jim Murray, and we're back with more on Agenda.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Cross the line. Werenski rips it wide. Peek off the point, and Marchand got him. And he is down. A breakaway here. Play continues. DeBrusque scores, and the Jackets are going to be upset about this.
Oh, they are going to be upset. Brad Marchand elevated and absolutely creamed Andrew Peak. Came off the ice. He jumped, and he got him. And Peak did not have a clue what was happening. And as that play goes up the ice, The Boston Bruins score a goal. And you can tell the Blue Jackets emotional as Mike Vogt was halfway on the ice waiting for a whistle, but they weren't going to blow it. Here's Marchand. It's a 50-50 puck, and he just plants Andrew Peak into the glass. And Peak unsuspecting as the puck is gone. And Marchand crunches him, and obviously there's head contact there. Big time. And that's the reason why Peak doesn't get up. His body and head get slammed off the glass. And then, of course, insult to injury. DeBrusque goes down. No whistle. And finally, Andrew Peak is on his feet.
All right, quick Bruins thought. Interesting spot for them tonight, too. Not that the seeding is so crucial. Hockey's a little different than basketball, where home court doesn't matter. And it really is just kind of a make the tournament kind of thing. That being said, I do prefer them in the top three of their division versus the wild card.
Me too.
And that just because what I think it means is you draw Toronto or you have a chance of drawing Toronto. Right now, Toronto's in second and you're in third. I mean, again, there's a way you got 12 games left. So there's some time for all this to shake out. But you and Tampa are basically tied with 90. Not basically, you are tied with 93 points. You have a tiebreaker, the regulation and overtime wins tiebreaker. So you're right now in third. And I would prefer you to end to be there, to stop, to end up in third, draw Toronto in the first round. And I think that's your best path. And then you get Florida in the second. If you fall into the wild card, you're looking at Carolina or Florida in the first round. Sort of a tougher road, especially Carolina. I want no part of Carolina. And right now, Carolina is the two. And Florida's kind of opened up a little bit of a gap. So it looks like Florida's going to be the one. I'd prefer to face Florida over Carolina, except you won't do it if you're the wild card because you'll be the first wild card, not the second. I hope I haven't confused you. All I'm saying is I want to be in the top three of the division. So, but that's not, you know, I'm not doing that at the sake of pushing someone back to the lineup. Like, I'm not pushing Pastrnak or Lindholm into the lineup just to be the three seed versus the wild card. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you, if, you know, all things being equal, the Bruins would rather be in the top three of that division. Okay, so that being said, tonight's game is kind of a sneaky important game at Tampa. And you're without Pastrnak, you're without Lindholm. Tough pull.
Yeah, big time.
And Linus has gotten the net back. Linus Ullmark has won the job back. We'll see how it goes over the final month, but right now it feels like he's reemerged as the number one goalie.
Look, I can live without Pastrnak in this game. Not having Lindholm scares the crap out of me.
Should.
Because, again, that decor just gets exposed at times. And so the idea of not having your second-best defenseman down there, like, whoosh, look out. Like, you know, I hope they show up and play a great game and steal it. But I could see this one being 5-1.
Yeah, and I'm with you in that I want him in that spot because I think Toronto is a better matchup for them just because history hangs heavy on the Maple Leafs. But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But do you feel any different about that Toronto team this year, though?
No.
At least against the Bruins?
Nope.
Because they haven't beaten them.
Their goaltending blows.
Their speed is insane, though.
Their speed's insane. Okay? Can you play smart?
Yeah, right. You got to really slow the game down when you play them.
Try and make it a half-court game, as I like to say. So, I still prefer them, Murray, over...
Oh, yeah. No, I want no part of Carolina. They'd get smoked by Carolina.
Carolina's been the best team in the East, just about.
Again, what is it? 16-1. Yeah.
Three games they've lost 16-1 combined.
So I could have Toronto with no goaltending. I mean, like almost literally casting about. Mrazek, I think they waived and then had to bring back and is now the guy or the other guy's hurt or whatever's going on there. You could have that, or you could have Vasilevsky in Tampa, Carolina, the wire to wire best team in the East that's absolutely throttled you every time you face them, or Florida. And my first two choices are Toronto and Florida.
Yeah, Toronto to me is the one. Because, again, you just have to make sure you don't give them space.
I mean, there's no other options, Murray. I mean,
I know. So, that Toronto team this year, look, their goaltending is terrible. And I'm sure you saw at least the highlights of how they blew that crazy lead to Florida last week.
What, like, they were up 6-1?
Yeah. It's just so them. But that last game and the speed that they showed with their forwards and how terrible the Bruins defense was that night, it was like, ooh, is this the same Maple Leafs team?
So here's what's interesting tonight. They have to reconnoiter the lines a little bit because Pastrnak is out. So the Howla-Taylor Hall line, the second line in place of Pastrnak, is this Mark McLaughlin kid. And I don't think he showed as well in that Detroit game as he did the first game that he played back here in Boston. I can't remember who it was against. That first game back here in Boston, I thought he flashed.
New Jersey, I think.
Yeah, like, wow. You know, they might be onto something there. And then in Detroit, I thought he wasn't as noticeable. Not bad, but not as noticeable. And then I really hated what I saw after the whistle in that, end-of-game scrum where bodies are flying, everyone's throwing down, everyone's grabbing a guy and doing something, and he's just there dancing with a guy on Detroit. I was like, you're a young kid that's trying to crack the lineup and make an impression, and everyone's throwing down. You got to stand up there. And he did nothing. It just reeked Boston College on my hockey team. But either way, I hated the way he looked in that post-game scrum, but he's been promoted. Now he's on the second line with Taylor Hall. So let's see what that looks like.
I'll tell you what, I don't mind it. Let's just see if he can play with some guys who have a little bit of skill. See what happens, see what it looks like. Because, and forgive me if you said this, again, I'm trying to watch a million things.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
That he played with Bleed the last game, right? Was he on that fourth line?
Yeah. The kid line. Well, you take these nicknames for the lines and also shove them up your ass. Seriously, it's so freaking, the only one word for it, and I can't say it. Like, just enough with the line thing. Please, naming the line.
Let's see what he looks like with some real players. The night he scored, he took a pass from Frederick, right? They basically had a two-on-one, so he was on that third line for Craig Smith. So, okay, so now he's getting bumped. Let's see what it looks like with the second group.
All right, there's your Bruins Minute. That game tonight on 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're back with your phones. Long commercial-free segment right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felder and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The biggest event in golf is back. And with the return to normal at Augusta, means the return of golf's most obnoxious fan. It's time once again for the Masters.
Hey, Tiger! You made it back! Good for you, buddy. Hope you prove them all wrong and make the cut. Hey, if you start to struggle, I got these right here. Just don't get behind the wheel afterwards. Hovland. Hey, Victor Hovland. You chip like you got feet for hands. I know you won't be putting on that green jacket because you suck from 20 yards in. DeChambeau! Oh, wow! I can't go all out. My hand hurts. My hip hurts. Get off the course and go home, you old woman! Hey, Cameron Smith! Nice mullet! Last time I saw a mullet like that, it was on Steven Belichick! Get a haircut! Hey, Spieth! Jordan Spieth! I know you've been able to navigate past Ray's Creek, but do you think you'll be able to work your way through Maz's crack? Take a look at this deep rough.
Again, a tradition unlike any other. They're back at it today. Cool, windy conditions has brought the scores way down, Maz.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is good. And it may have knocked Tiger Woods out of the tournament. I know that's premature, but he bogeyed three of his first four. Where does he stand right now?
I think it was four of his first five.
Yeah.
He is now three over for the tournament. Started the day at one under. So, you know, he's losing ground to the field. He's on the eighth hole now, which is a par five. He's just right of the green in two, so he might be able to make one up here.
Any early projection on the cut and where he stands?
Four.
Plus four.
Projected cut's four.
Okay. He's close to the cut line.
It's teetering.
Yeah, so because, again, people forget, the Masters cut's tighter. You know, it's a smaller field. So it's top 50 in ties. You know, just generally speaking, it's a smaller field. So you got to be close to the, you know, you got to be close to the leader. You're gone.
Has he started to grimace and play up the physical condition that he's in?
I don't know, play up. I mean, but let me read you this tweet from Christine Brennan.
Maurice, disgusted.
Play up.
USA Today. Tiger Woods, again, bogeying four of his first five holes. An observation from Christine Brennan. It was much more of a struggle for him to walk up the hill in the first few fairways today than it was yesterday. His gait was more labored, his shoulders more hunched than Thursday.
God, I just feel for him. I feel for the guy.
So it's the first thing you look for when a guy starts to go bad,
oh,
right?
Oh, my arm, it's broken. It's like, geez, Louise, you're so predictable. So predictable. As opposed to him just having a bad day. Or, obviously, rust. He hasn't played competitive golf in a year and a half. Okay. So whatever. I don't fully trust the injury thing. I said it to Hardy off the air yesterday. I know he got all bent out of shape about it. But it's like, And I think I said it to you too. Like, how do we know how badly he was hurt? I know they said he broke his leg in two and he almost lost his leg, but
how do you saw the picture of the vehicle, Mike.
So what?
Oh, I don't doubt that the injury was legit.
I saw a picture of the vehicle. Have we ever seen a picture of his leg? I don't trust him. And I don't trust his marketers. I think a real way to, you know, generate sympathy is to overplay how badly he was hurt, and it certainly makes it a more dramatic story now. So I you know, if I'm one of his marketing or PR guys, that's the first thing that I'm doing. You know, he almost lost his leg. And now the storyline becomes, can you believe what he's doing when he almost lost his leg? It's like PR 101.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I believe it. I mean, I think he had a bad injury. And I would tell you that what's happening today,
almost lost his leg,
is what I would expect to happen.
I don't think he almost lost his leg. I don't believe that. Point blank, I don't believe that.
I think the deeper he goes in this tournament, the worse he's going to play.
Yeah. And the more he's going to let you know, I almost lost my leg. I flat out don't believe he almost lost his leg.
I do.
I believe he flipped his car and got hurt, banged up.
Well, he was more than banged up. He was severely injured. I believe that. And with that cold weather, that can't help him. And the barometric pressure, that's not good for the joints and the body. It's affecting him today.
The barometric pressure.
It's a real thing.
Jesus. So thoughts and prayers out to Tiger. You know, the ultimate warrior there. Boy, he's gutting out a round of golf. You know, he's gutting out a round of golf. My God. Whew. Not a dry eye in the house. Did you know he almost lost his leg?
Yep.
Almost lost his leg. He almost killed an innocent guy on the road because he was probably once again impaired and flipped his car on the road because he passed out at the wheel. No one mentions that part, but we're going to carry on about how he almost lost his leg. I'll say it again. I flat out don't believe that. I believe that's embellished.
You're like golf QAnon.
No, no. You guys are like just taking the cheese. Because what? His people told you he almost lost his leg? You're going to buy that he almost lost his leg?
I missed a lot of time.
He missed some time. Did he miss all that much time?
He missed a lot of time. What was that accident? A year and a half ago?
Can't remember.
14 months ago.
I mean, it was a long time ago. Yeah, it was just a typical broken leg. He'd have been back before that.
Well, it takes a while for the steroids and the cycle to get... Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, did I say that out loud?
Oh, whatever it takes to get back.
You are the devil.
No. No. Wow. Yeah, you're right. So, Tiger Woods deserves all my sympathy and support. Very sympathetic figure.
Okay, I'm not saying you have to give him sympathy, but you're doing the opposite. Like, you know, you know.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, I can see that.
Everyone's fawning over Tiger Woods.
It's a great story.
It was better yesterday when he was in the thing. Now he's fading. It's like, all right.
I agreed. I wanted him to be in it. I want him to be in it.
The top of the leaderboard stinks. Like, you got to get down like... Dustin Johnson's one off, but it's all these guys like Charles Schwartzel, Danny Willett, Sung J.M. Like, give me names.
So, do you know what, Murray, as you mentioned that, too, I wonder, because the leaders are now at -3. They started the day at -5 at the leader. I wonder if that is going to affect the cut line. So maybe Tigers get a little more room there than we think.
Yeah, they're all going down.
I think he's on the verge of making birdie here anyway.
Okay. Well, either way, thoughts and prayers out to Tiger Woods after all he's been through. Hey, what, tough break. Innocent bystander. Really couldn't do anything about that, could you? Let's grab a few phone calls here before we hit the top of the hour. And Gasper. Gasper's going to be joining us. Ryan and Southie, you have a Bruins question? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Mike, I know...
Hey, Ryan, would you take us off your Bluetooth or your speaker or whatever you got there, please?
My real reason calling, who do you have for 7th play of the year? I'm going Coyle this year.
Okay, Ryan, I'm going to let you go. 7th player.
Swayman.
Oh, well, yeah, if not him, Howla?
Howla. Howla. Howla.
Yeah. Howla. I'm right. Mike sides with me. We win.
No. Swayman.
Two against one.
Howla's it. You're
Swayman.
You're out.
Howla. Swayman.
Howla. Swayman.
Swayman.
Oh.
Swayman.
You kind of can't give it to the goalie.
Howla.
Howla.
I'm going to give it a... No, Howla. Yep.
Howla. He's been good.
Yeah.
No, he's been good.
Yeah, he's been good. Fine. Okay. Swayman's a better pick.
It's Eric Howla.
Swayman.
Oh. It's Eric Howla.
Swayman.
There's more consistency with Howla. Swayman's gone sideways here in like a month.
Swayman.
I love how people still give a crap about the 7th player. I give a crap about the 7th player. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it.
It's fixed anyway.
But I like it. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's fixed. Dale picks the winner, actually.
Well, Dale, go with Howla. Mike and Southie on the Bruins as well. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you guys are talking about you guys don't care that Pasternak's out tonight. I went to the last game, scored a hat trick against the Bolts, got 5 goals against them this year. I think the team has a big issue with guys being afraid to shoot the puck, especially your boy, Mike. Hall never shoots.
Oh, I agree.
Cannot be asked to shoot the puck.
Like, agreed. Hall does not shoot. He's a setup guy and a good one, but that's what he is. Speed and set somebody up.
You know, it's amazing, right? Because I do. I regard him as a setup guy, but it's a good point. He never shoots.
Doesn't shoot.
I used to get on McAvoy about that, but Hall's a forward. Shoot the freaking puck.
The first thing he said about don't have a problem with Pastrnak not playing, I mean, no, I'd like him to play and be healthy. You want him to play if he's borderline?
No, I said that.
Oh.
I said I don't worry about them being out without Pastrnak.
Right.
Yeah, I don't worry about them being without Pastrnak. I worry about them not having Lindholm.
If you're asking me who's more important in the lineup on a nightly basis, it might be Lindholm. I don't know. In this one, though, Lindholm. I would agree with that. All right, real quick, before we go to the top of the hour, I just want to tell you something real quick, maybe hopefully get your support. The Kennedy family, obviously the late, great Jake Kennedy, a mastermind and the guy who started Christmas in the City, our charity, obviously passed away last year suffering from ALS. He had run in 37 consecutive marathons, Jake did, 37 straight, this guy. All the way through the last year of his diagnosis, by the way. I think he ran after he was diagnosed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, I remember one of the last times we saw him, he was still running.
No, I think that's right.
So he ran 37 straight. So his kids are picking up the slack. His sons, Chip and Dean Kennedy, will be running number 38 this year, and they're doing it to support ALS research. So we're hoping for your support. Jake Kennedy ALS Fund.org. I'm sure if you Google it, you can also get there. But Dean is raising money just on his own, or, you know, he has his specific page set up. He's trying to raise $50,000. I'm sorry it's taking me so long to mention this, because obviously the race is in less than 2 weeks. But if you could help support the Kennedys after all the support they've given the city of Boston with Christmas in the City and all of that, we would really appreciate it. So Jake Kennedy ALS Fund.org. There's another big, long website for Dean's page that I don't even want to repeat to you because you won't be able to remember it. Google it. We'll blast it out on our show Twitter page as well. So help support Dean Kennedy, the Kennedy family. Chip and Dean are running this thing. Help support them and ALS research in the race in a week and a half. So we'll blast that out on Twitter if you want the exact website again. But Jake Kennedy, ALSfund.org, if you're writing it down right now. Thank you for your support in advance. Gasper, coming up after the top of the hour. First, we got a 90-second update from Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.